Good morning, and welcome to Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Seth Johns. I'm the youth pastor here. And I have a couple announcements for you guys this morning. First things first, we do have a new welcome area. So if you're new here, if this is your first time coming, right out here, straight out in the lobby, and then to the right, you'll see that newer-looking countertop there with some white gift bags. In that bag is a gift for you. There's also a little connect card that you can fill out and hand in to the person standing there. But yes, we got someone there too, ready to answer any questions that you may have, even if it's just, hey, where's the bathroom at, right? So welcome if you are new, and welcome if you're not. We have a couple announcements here this morning. One, first things first, we are in a huge need for some child care workers during the Sunday school hour, from 9 to 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So if there's anyone that's willing to help with that, we also need some kids men check-in hosts. So that new check-in area at the kids wing. If you feel like you are confident in your direction skills, you can help out people as they come in and are checking in there as well. We also could use some help for the production team and the hospitality team as greeters, welcomers, and door openers and whatnot, as we kind of try to fill some different volunteer spots that we have some needs for. We do have Operation Christmas Child going on right now. You see this box right here in my hand. And out there in the lobby under the staircase, we do still have some boxes remaining, but this is the last chance to grab them and fill them. So I want to challenge you guys, let's try to not have any empty boxes left there, and then we're going to be recollecting them, I think, by Wednesday this coming Sunday. It's our last call to get all the boxes in, and then usually next Sunday, the following Sunday after we collect them all, we usually have them all up front, and we get to pray over them before we send them out. So it's a great time that we get to celebrate sharing the gospel with other kids around the world. So make sure you guys stop by and grab one of these boxes on your way out, and let's get the last remaining ones filled. Okay, Christmas is in the air. So we do have another opportunity that you guys can help, but this is just a one-time thing, Christmas decorating. I know you guys are already thinking about decorating your homes, and some of you have already done it. I was talking to one youth student. You know, as soon as November 1st rolled around, the tree was up, right? Well, you see, it's not done here yet. So Christmas decorating is going to be here Saturday, November 29th from 9 a.m. to noon. Please reach out to Jen Gamble if you have any questions or if you just want to let her know, hey, I put me down, I'm coming, right? So that's coming up soon. While we're on the topic of Christmas, we also have the annual Ladies Christmas Brunch that's going to be taking place on Saturday, December 6th. It's always a lovely time of yummy food, great fellowship, and we would love, I'm sure all the women would love you guys if you guys come and attend and really get to connect with them some more too. So you guys can go ahead and sign up for that using the QR code here. We also have some flyers out there as well. While we're talking about Christmas, Jocelyn has a short announcement for us.
Oh, I better keep it short. As you know, every Christmas Eve here, if you've been coming here for a while, we have a tradition that we have a Christmas Eve choir. Now, some of you have heard me said before that my first time visiting this church was summer of 2021, and my first impression of this church was, wow, these people can really sing. It's one of the things that drew me in here, and it's one of the things that I enjoy so much week after week. And so knowing that, we're going to try something here. Okay, ready? Using up here. Ah, going, keep it going, you got this. All right, we'll practice it, we'll practice it. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back. There's a sign-up sheet right here on this little table, and all the information you need to know about rehearsals is right there on the sheet. I would love to have your beautiful voices on Christmas Eve up here leading and celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So please, on your way out that way or on your way out this way, get your name and your information on there, and I will get music to you and more information. Thank you.
Thank you, Jocelyn. So don't forget to sign up as you guys are leaving today. We have our annual church family meeting after the morning service, Sunday, December 7th. So this has updates on the church expansion that'll be given. There will be a voting for the proposed budget of 2026. And your guys' voice matters, each and every one of you guys. So make sure you set aside some time after the service, December 7th. For our church annual family meeting. At this time, we're going to be going into our mission focus for the next month. So we have a new family that'll be highlighted this month, and we have to just make sure that our live stream is all shut off, or we're looking good. Sweet. So this month, we're going to be looking. God, would you just continue to bless and invest in their relationships that they're making, where they're at? Would you just give them wisdom and how to come alongside the other ministries in the process, God? And God, we just pray that they would be encouraged and strengthened in endurance, that they would have the comfort and guidance of the Holy Spirit as they are out and about. And God, would they inspire us to not be take advantage of what we have here, but would we go out and be encouraged by them to make sure that we're sharing, God, about you to each and every person that we see as we go about our daily lives. Heavenly Father, as we come into this time, God, would you just give us focused hearts, focused minds? As we open up with some songs here, would it just be a unified prayer as one body to glorify you as the Father? And as we open up your word, God, would we just be challenged to live it out? Not while we're together only, but God, would the times that we're together inspire us to continue to do your work even when we're apart? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's sing this morning.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. The King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
All that you've done for me.
All that you've done for me.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Struck wonder at the mention of your name.
Filled with wonder.
Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Thank you. I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Sing that holy, holy one more time.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Sing holy, holy, holy.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, holy, holy,
God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to praise you and just to lift these songs up to you, God. And think about that day of those who have a relationship with you where we'll spend eternity praising you in your holy name. There won't be other cares and concerns, and the things of this world, God, we will just be praising you. God, we think about it as we are even here now, that we would be able to do that in our hearts and just be able to share what you've done in our lives, God, and be an example to those around us as we go into the world, and we could just be a light in this dark place. God, we pray as we continue in worship and opening up your word, and just be with Glenn this morning as he shares. We can all have open hearts and minds to what you have to say to us today as we go from this place. We pray this in all in your name. Amen.
Okay, stay in here, guys, gals. I want to do something a little special here before I get into the message. And Tuesday is Veterans Day, the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour. And I have a little video I want to show on that, and then we want to recognize and honor our veterans. So if we'll show that right now.
The 11th hour does not strike on the clock of every man. For at this time, most of us can be found at home, comfortable, knowing tomorrow is right on its way. At the 11th hour, most of us can be found in our beds. But in another world, our men and our women, our brothers and our sisters live in this hour. Tick, 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 tick. Every second for you, every second for me. So it was on the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the guns were lowered, the trenches grew silent, and an armistice was declared between the Allied nations and Germany. The Great War hushed so that the wives, the children, the fathers and the mothers could salute back across the ocean. And it is on this day each year that we have stopped to salute our veterans, our men and women of the 11th hour. So today, it's our turn. It's our turn to show our gratitude. It's our turn to applaud when they stand. It's our turn. It's our turn to say thank you for going in our stead.
Veterans, would you stand? Any veterans in our midst, please stand. Please remain standing. I want to pray. Lord, this video helped us remember how significant it is that these and others like them would give themselves to serve our country and to serve us. We thank you for them. We thank you for their families. We pray your blessing on them, on our nation, that we might truly be one nation under God for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. You may be seated. Okay, boys and girls, now you can escape. There they go. As some of you may know, I am privileged, even though I'm not a veteran, to be counted as a part of the Cumberland County Honor Guard as a bugler. And so I get called on quite often. Matter of fact, we did two actual veteran services at the cemetery on Friday. And actually, I've been invited to play taps for our veteran celebration where we're currently living tomorrow night. So a lot of opportunities, but it's my honor. I didn't serve, but I've had many relatives that have, and I thank all of you that have. And it's an honor to honor those that have as they leave us from this world. Well, we're continuing our Romans series. Today is number 13, and lucky 13, okay? Actually getting to what I have been looking forward to as I preach Romans. I got to tell you, when I decided to preach through the book of Romans, I knew there were going to be a lot of challenging sections, and that's just the way it is. There's been a lot of controversy throughout the years theologically on, okay, what does this mean, what does this mean, and we'll be in some of those coming up. We've been through some already. Matter of fact, even last week, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But I also, though, look very much forward to preaching in Romans 8. Just love this chapter. It's become a very precious chapter for me personally. I'll tell you just a little story about that. Back in about 2012, 13, I was in the midst of getting close to finishing my doctorate. If anybody has done graduate studies, you know that even though it seems like you're just kind of gliding through, to the person that's in the midst of it, there's a lot of angst going on. And I remember laying in bed before the morning I was supposed to leave to go back down. Really, I think it was my final course, and then before I started my dissertation. And I said to Betty, I'm done. I have had enough of this. I don't need a degree. I don't know what in the world I'm doing here. I've had enough. I can't take any more. I'm anxious. I can't think clearly. If I go to class, it's not going to work. Da-da-da. She said, you're not quitting. And I guess you know who's boss in our house. And she was right. So I went, and I remember talking to my professor and saying, hey, you know what? I am in the midst of some major anxiety here. I'm not sure how I'm going to do in this class. I mean, I learned a long time ago that it wasn't good to hide stuff and just be up front and get on through. And we did fine. But one of the things that happened that week, it was during the summer, so there was not many students there. And so I was staying in a dorm, and I think I was the only person on that floor. And so I got up in the morning and went to the shower bay. Of course, it's not like a hotel. You don't have it in your room. You go where everybody else showers. But I was the only one there, so no big deal. So I walk into the shower bay, and on the wall of every shower in that shower bay, someone had laminated the whole chapter 8 of Romans and put it on the wall. So I spent 2 weeks every morning, very wet, reading Romans 8. And you know, I don't think I fully grasped even then God's mercy and grace to me as I read that. I was still wrestling with a lot of anxiety, a lot of things. And I can remember reading it and saying, I know what these say, okay. But I wasn't really knowing what these say in my personal experience. You get what I'm saying here? And I got to tell you, some of the reason was Romans 7. Because, as I said last week, Paul talks about what a miserable person I am. I wrestle with, I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. And you know that. And we talked about the controversy around that that says, was that Paul before he was a Christian? Or was that Paul after he was a Christian? And I said, hey, I really think it's both. All right. But I was living at that time as if that was only Paul as not a Christian. And so what I was doing with that in my head was saying, oh, I still have that struggle. I still have times where I'm not doing what I want to do. And I must not really be connected to the Lord. I mean, I was going through a very difficult time and still being a pastor and a leader. I mean, it's weird how things happen. But as I look back, I know that God put me in the shower bay with his Romans 8. because that's what I needed to hear. And I needed to realize that this is the answer to it all. And we really need to dwell here. Okay? And it didn't go away immediately, but it did. All right? Through a lot of things, but that was a key factor. So I hope that as we enter into Romans 8 today, we're going to just be in the first 13 verses today, but as we get into this chapter, you too will find what you need from the Lord. Because Paul has been building up to this point. This is kind of like, it's kind of like the crescendo. He was just saying, holy, holy, holy. All right, we got to a point where, man, it was like, whoa, baby, this is so good. I mean, I can sense it in here. Lord, you are wonderful. I saw some of you. You were just lightening up, you know, in your faces. It was the crescendo. Well, this is kind of that moment here in the writing in Romans. And Paul comes to us. So I'm excited to be here. I hope you are too, okay? And so let's get into it as we get to this section. I'm going to read Romans 8, 1 to 13. It'll be on the screen, reading from the New Living Translation, and I better get it open to that. For some reason, I'm in Luke chapter 18. That's not the right place. Okay, here we go. All right, Romans 8. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Interesting, as we read this first verse in chapter 8, it obviously is connected to what Paul's just been saying in chapter 7, right? He says, so now there, therefore, some of them might say, okay, all right, what I've just said has led up to what I'm saying now, okay? And so what he's saying now, of course, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. He's just saying, I'm a mess, I'm a miserable person, I can't get it right, and I should be condemned. Because I don't live up to the standard of the law, right? But what does he say next? There is therefore now how much condemnation? How much? How much? Even that little bit sometimes we lay on ourselves. It's not really there. See, that's the word of the Lord to us here as we deal with these things. In Christ. In Christ. Okay, not on your own merit. But in Christ, I mean, we're right to know that we can't do it. We're right to know that we're messed up, right? We talked about it last week. We're all messed up, but we do have some place to go. We have Jesus. And in him, there is therefore no condemnation for those who belong to him. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Paul is telling the Roman Christians, and God is telling us through this passage that he has inspired, that we are to move beyond who we may think we are, to think rightly about who we are in Christ, and the Spirit dwells in us to help guide our minds and our hearts to live in that victory. You see, in Christ, there is no condemnation. A key to our moving forward in the process of becoming more like Christ is to know who we are in Christ. Jesus has put us in the position where we are to know that we cannot lose. Last week, I mentioned that Tim Keller, in his commentary on Romans 7, says that what we realize there is that we are in a battle with sin that we cannot win on our own, all right? But what he also says, which I didn't mention last week, as we look here in Romans 8, is that now, in Christ, we are in a battle that we cannot lose. Big difference, all right? Why? Because God has put his Spirit within us. We have a security in Christ that we didn't have in ourselves. What Jesus did was complete, and there is no condemnation for those who are in him. And it's the Spirit that Jesus promised that makes all that possible. He has done the work for us, Jesus has, but he's also supplied what we need as we continue on in this process of sanctification. We still wrestle with sin. That's what makes it confusing sometimes. But we are not in the same place we were. We couldn't win before, but now we can't lose because Jesus has won for us. What a wonderful place, a time to celebrate. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You see, our freedom, our victory is made possible through the operation of the Spirit. God dwells inside of those who have received Christ as their Savior and Lord. It's a guarantee. It's there. We've received the power from God himself. The law of Moses is on the outside. It tells us what we need to do, but it really provides no power to change us. Rather, it shows our sin nature that condemns us when we consider the law. But God sent his own Son, Paul says here, in a body like us. Not a sinful body, certainly perfect in every way, but totally human. And we're coming to Christmas, right? We're celebrating the coming of Jesus, the miraculous incarnation that somehow, that only God can fully understand, by the way, friends, but somehow God himself became a human being because we desperately need a Savior. And there was no law, no person, no situation that could perform what was needed except God himself in his grace and his love. So Jesus, the second in the Trinity, took on humanity, left all of the glories of heaven. Read Philippians chapter 2, all right. And came to be one of us, to take on the flesh, to live in the midst of everything we live in, to know every experience of emotions and physical pain and all the things that we deal with, but didn't sin. So that when he was given for us on the cross, he really was and is the perfect sacrifice. And really, his blood could and does wash away all sin. And so through faith in him, that's what Paul said, right? Faith in him, as we read it throughout verses or chapters 1 to 7, it's faith in Christ in which we realize the total forgiveness and no condemnation that's ours because of what he's done. God in Christ has intervened for us to do what the law could not do. And Jesus, in his full identity with us, was able to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Someone said this, I like this phrase, Christ became like us so that we can become like him. Yeah. Douglas Moo, in his commentary, says this, by condemning sin in Christ as our sacrifice, God can justly avoid condemning us who are in Christ. It's been paid for. That which needed to be done has been done. You can't pay for it, and you don't have to pay for it, because Jesus has paid for it, and your trust in him makes all the difference in the world. Paul states in this in verse 4, he says, God did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. Some of your translations might say in us, but really the best translation is it's for us, okay? Certainly the work of God is in us when it's coming our way, but it's not us that have redeemed ourselves. Jesus has done it for us so that we can be free. We must, though, let the Spirit control our mind in order to live in the freedom that's ours in Christ, because we're told here that we no longer in Christ are to follow the sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. You know, if you let your emotions or your own perspectives and struggles control your mind, you will exclaim regularly, like Paul did in Romans 7, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? But like him, we must come to a different conclusion. And we must come, like we said last week, thank God, right? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is where our faith is to be, and we must direct our mind to continue to believe it, even when we don't see it or when we don't feel it. Our faith in him has provided what we need and determines who we are and our position with God. Now, this is what Paul says in verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. The Greek word used here for mind, which I'm not a Greek scholar, but I'll try to say it, phronema, okay? It can be rendered not just mind, but mindset, okay? The way you think, all right? The cognitive activity, what you do with your brain. And it's amazing. I mean, God has given us a brain. God has given us an ability to think. God has enabled us to apply that which he says is true. A part of our faith, I mean, it's certainly got to be your heart. I know that, because you can have an academic faith that really isn't a saving faith, right? You're just acknowledging that things are true. You need to come to a place where you say, yeah, I submit myself, right? In my heart, I mean, it's not your physical heart, but I mean, the inside of really who you are is part of the faith process too. But you don't leave your brain on the sidewalk either. All right? It's got to be based on what God has said. It's got to be using what he's given you. And it's that way in walking with the Lord too, isn't it? All right? We come to realize our condition. We come to realize that Jesus truly is the Messiah. And we make a choice that is certainly from the mind, but also affects the heart and was from here as well. But as we walk with the Lord, it's the same thing too, right? Because we read his word. We pray. We follow the Lord with this, which also affects this, right? Sometimes we get it backwards, though, I think. I know I do. Sometimes I think, oh, because I feel a certain way, then it can't really be that way. But I need to put the thinker back to work sometimes, all right? I got a thinker, I got a feeler, so do you, all right? And I need to let the thinker take charge, all right? And I need to let the thinker take my feeler back where it belongs. What's that pastor say? It's like an auctioneer or something, right? Okay. Yeah. No, okay. It really is true, though. Yeah, you know that. So this mindset idea, this Greek word phronema, okay, is that the basic direction of our will determined by our mind, okay? That's our mindset, how we think, what we think about. It determines what we think is important, what we do, what decisions we make. And when we let our sinful nature take over, control our mind, it doesn't lead to good things. Matter of fact, Paul says it leads to death. Certainly, spiritual death, and ultimately, those who don't respond to Christ, certainly, long-term eternal death. Darkness, though, also comes. Emptiness, depression, all kind of things come when we get in the wrong territory. But the good news is that in Christ, we can change our mind. Okay? You can. Matter of fact, Paul says that in this passage. You're not under obligation to follow that anymore. You can make a different decision. The Spirit's in there to help you do it. And he wants to, and he's waiting. And we need to let him. And so when we let the Spirit control our minds, we find life and peace, he says. Living with a mind controlled by our sinful nature keeps us away from God. We can't please him. We please him by putting an end to thinking about things controlled by the sinful nature and instead think of the things of the Lord. Letting the Spirit control your mind is determining to believe what God says is true. You see, in myself I can't win the battle, but in him I can't lose. I choose to believe what he says. I choose to believe who he is. I choose to put my faith and my trust in him and to live for him. And I want to think about the potential that's mine in Christ. I may not be there yet, but I want to be. I believe that letting go of my anxious thoughts and letting the Spirit control my thoughts, that's where I will find life and peace. I choose to think on the things of the Lord. Paul writes about this in another spot. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, you probably know this section, right? He says, fix your thoughts on what is true. Right? And honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Fix your thoughts. That's a determined action, right? Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Do you ever find yourself sometimes in life fixating on something? Yeah. We get stuck. Just can't. I mean, sometimes maybe the Lord is speaking to us. I heard Brian say this in his class today. He just couldn't get something out of his mind. Well, that's good, all right? But there are other times when we get stuff in our mind that isn't from the Lord, you know? And it's just like, it's driving us around here, all right? It's driving our emotions. It's driving our actions, our attitudes, our personal relationships. It's just not good. And we can get fixated in the wrong way. But we can change that, brothers and sisters. We don't have to stay there. If the devil tells you that, or somebody else tells you that, or you even tell yourself, I remember some people saying, well, that's just the way I am. Well, change it. You can tell I didn't like when they said that, right? Yeah. Yeah, we have the power. We're in the battle. We can't lose. We can, with God's strength, see change. Think about the things of the Lord. Be in his word regularly. Let the word of the Lord direct your thinking, right? Get in a Bible study. Be with other Christians. Man, this is all of the work of the Lord, and the Spirit is in all of those things, right? The Spirit is the one that inspired the word of God, so he certainly knows how to use it in your life, all right? The Spirit is the one that brought the people that are Christians to faith because he convicted and showed the way of life and brought life and transformation into your body. He certainly knows how to help you along in your relationships with the Lord and with each other. I mean, it's the Spirit who is within you that gives you the power to not lose. All right. Live under the control of the Spirit. Let the Spirit control your minds. Now, Paul says that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all, but Christ lives within those who know Christ. It's kind of an interesting mix. It is the Spirit, but the three in one is all involved, right? You don't just get a piece of God. All right, the Spirit's the main player right now in your life, all right? But that doesn't mean Jesus isn't involved. He's still involved. That doesn't mean God the Father isn't involved. He's still involved, all right? It's just different roles, all right? You have all of God. That's amazing. He's with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's told us all those things, right? Choose to believe it and walk in it. This verse makes it clear that receiving Christ is also receiving the Spirit. They go together. And so when you receive Christ, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit lives within us to make it possible for us to live the Christian life. Paul goes on to say here that the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Very significant about the power of the Spirit, all right? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, right, is the same one who lives in you and to give life to your mortal bodies. Played, I mentioned, the bugle on Friday at two different services. the people that we were honoring were not there. Their remains were, but they weren't there. These are mortal bodies. If you're counting on this to take you somewhere beyond this life, this part, this body thing, it's the spirit, right? The spirit gives us life. We are more than our bodies. Everybody, by the way, is more than their body, even though they might think they are. All right? All of us were created by God as eternal beings to go on beyond this life. For those who have faith in Christ, those who know the Lord, to be with him eternally. For those without him, it's a terrible thing that we have to know, but it's true and it's important you know it. The Bible is very clear. Jesus was very clear. There is a place called hell that separates people from God forever. Very, very serious. But in Christ, that's not our future, okay? That's not where we're headed. The Spirit ensures us of eternal life. The end of this life is not the end of our lives. And Paul ends this section with a statement that ties it all together. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you'll die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live." It is our choice. And you can make the good choice because the Spirit is guiding you. And we can grieve the Spirit. We can do our own thing. But the Spirit doesn't give up on us. I mean, if you grieve the Spirit, you know what he does? He continues to convict you. He continues to say, "Hey, wait a minute. You're getting off track here. You're one of us. Okay, you've been brought into the family by Jesus' blood. I'm here to get you back on track." Okay? And some of the most miserable people I know are people who are Christians who are doing their own thing because the Spirit's after them. Yeah, some have called it the hound of heaven. It's really true. Yeah. So, hey, don't stay where you are if that's where you are because you don't need to be there. All right? Get back on track. All right? Let the Lord lead you. You see, God has done for us what we need, and he will continue to supply the power that we need to live for him. But you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Even in the midst of that, he still allows us to choose. You know, they can't have a relationship with a robot. AI. How about that whole AI thing? It's kind of scary, man. I kind of like it sometimes. It gives me some good information, but I have to be careful, right? Because is it really giving me the right information? Because it's just a conglomeration of all kinds of thoughts from everywhere. It's not really a person, although it tries to act like one. It's just something that's been programmed. Well, it's kind of a bad place. But you see, we are really God's creation. We really have been given the ability to think, the ability to choose, the ability to relate. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us to be robots. He could have done that, right? But what kind of relationship would that be? He's a loving God who's relational. And he wants relationships with all of us. He made us for that. Yeah? A lot of people wondering what they were made for. Well, definitely we're made to know the Lord and to walk with him. He gives us power over sinful nature. And he gives us a will that can decide against him in his ways, but also that we do choose him in his ways, we find life. I took 2 weeks' worth of showers in the dormitory at Columbia International University. I read Romans 8 over and over. I don't think I've ever been so clean in my life. And as I mentioned earlier, it didn't immediately bring me out of my wrong thinking. It took some time. And by the way, still does. I must let the Spirit control my mind. My mind will go wild on its own. It needs to be controlled. And daily, I must let the Spirit have his way in my thinking. I must fill my mind with spiritual things. If I allow the things of this world to dominate my thinking, my spiritual vitality and life will suffer. What I read, what I listen to, what I watch, all fill my mind. So I challenge you, as I challenge myself, to take inventory. See what we are being led to think about. If it is related to the sinful nature, you can make a change. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Instead, invite, submit to, let the power of the Spirit put to death the deeds of the sinful nature. Don't feed those things. Instead, feed the things of the Spirit of God. Let His power guide you, fill you, use you. And as you do, you will know life and peace in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Oh, wow. It's life there. It's life-giving. Thank you that your word brings life to that which lives inside of us as believers, the Spirit of God, you living within us, and that it's not that we're just out here trying to do our best. We choose not to determine ourselves, but we choose to allow you to be in charge. So, Lord, may we do that. And may even right now, we just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you that there is no condemnation for me because of my faith in you. And say to you, Lord, as well, oh, not only do I thank you, but I declare my allegiance. I declare to you, Lord, how desperately I need you. I thank you that I'm in the battle, but not to lose, but to win. And I thank you that I'm not in the battle alone. Help me to listen to your Spirit. Help me to let your Spirit control me. Help me to live a life that is full of life and peace in a world that is so crazy. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand. Thank the production guys in the back. They work so hard. There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah.
you, O my Father.
Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the world.
Back to my day, Keith Green. Some of you might not remember who that guy was, but he was a Jewish boy that found Jesus and was really dedicated to him and died early in a plane crash. But you know, that last part's what he was all about. That's what we're all to be about, right? He's given us his Spirit, not only that we would know life and peace, but that we would do the work of the Lord, right? We're his instruments. We're the testimony. We're the way that God gets to other people. You are here worshiping the Lord and knowing him because God used somebody else in your life. And now it's your turn, right? So as we go from here, let's go not only letting the Spirit control our minds for our own peace and strength and life, but also that others might have life and peace as well. God bless you. Have a great week.